Welcome back. Come along as we dig into God's Word and search for truth, understanding, and a closer relationship with Him. This is Steve, and you're listening to the Dig Bible Podcast Corner. Welcome back to the Dig Bible Podcast Corner. Everybody who's here listening, I appreciate you tuning back in. And we're going to look at a little bit of a topic that God's put on my heart a little bit this week. And I think it's really important. And I think that we're seeing this more and more as we get towards the end times here. Whether you believe that's happening now or it's in the future, I just know that every day is a day closer to when Jesus returns. We always have to remember that. We were just at the Hear the Watchman conference where they were talking. The title of the seminar of the conference was Prophetic Signs in the Heavenlies. We're talking about the end times, the things that we're seeing coming, the persecution of the church that is happening in a lot of parts of the world, but things that are coming forward to us. You know, we don't understand how free we are in this country to worship God and these things. And when is that going to come to an end? You know, we know that the church is going to be persecuted. This stuff is all, you know, foretold. It's coming. And I think we start seeing signs of that right now. When we think about this, if you are in a conversation, a religious conversation, and somebody brings up, you know, Buddha or Allah or Vishnu or whatever their God is that they're worshiping him, it's like, oh, all right, cool, whatever. You know, they just kind of roll with the punches, or they just don't, it doesn't infuriate anybody. But if you say the name of Jesus, the anger and the hatred that come out, it's unbelievable. You can just see the conviction that people feel just from the name, the reputation. We talk about it, the Hashem, that is literally the name. It means the reputation that Jesus has. Now remember, when people feel this conviction, we have to go back to Ephesians, right? Ephesians 6:12, where it says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in of an unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places." That's what we're fighting against. We are truly in a battle, a spiritual battle. We have to remember, when someone's showing hate to you because of who you believe in, because of Jesus, that's not that person. We're not fighting against that person. We're not fighting against people in this world. We're fighting against dark, evil powers, spirits in unseen places. We're fighting against the unseen realm. What we don't understand is how this is being, I should say, what most people don't understand is how this is attacking us from all angles. By everything that we take in that isn't God, by everything we see around us, what we allow ourselves to be subjected to, whether it's, you know, on the internet, whether it's on your phone, whether it's on the TV, these things where Vicki Joy Anderson said it best. She goes, "You don't always have to open the door to these things, but if you leave the window cracked, that's enough room for something to get in." And I think that that is a terrifying thought. Now, Jesus says that he stands at the door and knocks, and whoever opens the door, he will come in and he will dine with them. So this idea is saying that, you know, that conviction you feel in your heart, you know, prior to being saved, is that's Jesus knocking on your heart. He's letting you know, listen, I'm here. I'm waiting for you. You know what's right and wrong. You know these things. I know the world is seeing that get more and more blurred, but there's reasons for that too. But you know what's right and wrong. You do, because Jesus is knocking on your heart. He's convicting you. He's telling you that you need him. He wants to meet you halfway, but you got to open the door and let him in. And if you don't let him in, and you don't ask the Holy Spirit to be in your heart, something else is going to take that place. Could be greed, could be lust, could be envy, could literally be a demonic spirit. I don't know, but I will tell you that if you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside you, if you don't have the full armor of God on, which comes with the Word, which comes with our faith, which comes with the Holy Spirit being inside of us, if we don't have that on, then we're leaving that door open, or we're at least leaving the window open a crack, and something else is getting in. When we let something else like that into our lives, it can affect us. It'll affect the people around us. It affects our children. It affects the people we work with. And we're, instead of being a mouthpiece for God, we're the exact opposite. And that's a place that I don't want to be. It doesn't have to seem always like something's inherently evil for it to be wrong. There's a very fine line. A lot of times you'll see Satan will take and just, you know, twist the truth just enough. Just think about Adam and Eve. You know, he said, oh, did God tell you that? He goes, no, he just doesn't want you to be like him, to have that wisdom, to know right and wrong. He was able to turn that just enough for them to be like, you know what? He's probably right. That happens in our lives too, all the time, even when we have the Holy Spirit inside. But the Holy Spirit gives us that power of discernment. We pray for it. You know, we always want to, you know, our relationship with God, you know, it has our hills and valleys. Our goal is to always try to be on that hill, getting closer and closer and closer to God. But it has its hills and valleys. There's times that's going to happen. But we have to make our best effort, even when we have the Holy Spirit. But if we don't, the things that can get in, it's terrifying. On the same note, we have to look at the world in the way that we're trying to. Everybody wants to have a identity, per se. You know, and as Christians, our identity should be Jesus. Our goal is to mirror him the best that we possibly can, to be a mouthpiece, to be a model of what Jesus was. And we will fall short at times, there's no doubt. But our goal is to show Jesus through our actions. Now, once again, on the same note, if the thing that we identify with isn't Jesus, if our defining characteristic is our sexuality, if our defining characteristic is our color, if our defining characteristic is anything other than Jesus, it causes separation. We can see this throughout the world. You know, as Christians, we're called to love everybody. Jesus said, you know, when asked by the lawyer, he said, you know, which commandment is the greatest? And he said, Jesus says to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And you know, when it talks about neighbors, I think it's important to remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritans and the Jews hated each other. But the Samaritan helps the Jew on the side of the road, and he asks, like, who was his neighbor? And they say the Samaritan was his neighbor. Why? Not because he lived next door to him. It was nothing to do with that. It's because he cared for him. He loved him. We're supposed to love everybody around us. If Jesus is at the heart of your life, if Jesus is at the center, if the Holy Spirit is in your heart, you will show love and compassion to everybody. That's not saying we ever accept sin. We never accept sin, but we will show that compassion. But if your identity is based on something other than Jesus, you're going to struggle. You're going to have hatred. You're going to have anger. You're going to have division. But that's because we're fighting against those evil powers and those principalities that are causing that division within us. They're trying to separate people as much as they can. I've said this a million times, but every great military leader, you know, Satan included, divide and conquer. You can even see it in the church. You can see how many non-salvation issues there are that are brought up that are divisions in the church that cause separation. Jesus did not call us to be separated by non-salvation stuff. He called us to be one church, the body of Christ. We follow the Bible. We keep the main thing the main thing. Everything else that's a non-salvation interpretation issue, me and you are going to have a difference of opinion, and that's okay. That is okay. Doesn't matter. But keep Jesus at the core. So I say all this to remind you, our fight is not with people that think differently than us. It's not with political parties. It's not with people with different ideologies. Our fight is with those evil powers and principalities that are the ones driving behind these people that don't have the Holy Spirit in their heart. They don't. And it's sad, because the one most amazing thing that we as Christians have is that promise of eternal life because of Jesus dying for us. That's the most important thing. You know, Jesus' death and resurrection is the main thing. That's the most important thing. So remember that. Have pity on people that don't have the Holy Spirit, and do everything we can to show Jesus' love to them, no matter how they act, no matter what they say, no matter how much hatred they have when you say the name of Jesus. Because deep down, because they don't have that Holy Spirit, it's been replaced with something else. And there's a lot of anger, because they feel the conviction. They feel the knocking. They know it's there. Help them. Be a light. Explain to them. Show them through your life, through your actions, through your words. God's calling you. He wants you to be one of His own. He wants you to be a child of God. Fill that space with God. Ask the Holy Spirit into your heart. Acknowledge that Jesus died for you to save you from your sins, and have that faith. And keep on digging, everybody.